Thus saith the Lord is what I called this in prophecy part two. I was going to just say, thus saith the Lord two, but I thought that might not be the best. 1 Corinthians 14:12, and we're going to bounce a little bit around in the scriptures here. It says, since you are eager for the gifts of the Spirit, try to excel in those that build up the church. Build up the church, not tear down the church. Build up the church. I remember it wasn't that long ago when we were pastoring in a smaller community, and we had a guy who was a prophet that came in, and he felt he was a prophet anyway, and he said, hey, you probably didn't notice that I wasn't here earlier this morning, because I went down to the neighboring church, and I went in and listened to the pastor's sermon and stood up and rebuked him. I says, why did you do that? Well, God sent me down there. I said, no, he never. God never sent you down to rebuke somebody else in their church that you've never been to. I would have said to that man, you are out of order, please leave. And if you won't leave, we'll have the ushers help you. And if the ushers won't help you, we'll have the RCMP leave with you. Because you're disrupting the Spirit of God. Now, I don't know what the church was. I don't know who the pastor was. But I don't believe that we are these fruit inspectors that are sent around to do this kind of stuff. So you wonder, well, maybe I was a little harsh. So I come into my service one morning, and I get into the prayer meeting, and we had a pool table in our prayer room. How do you like that? That was one of my biggest things, to get a pool table in every Pentecostal church, and I haven't succeeded here yet. It doesn't matter. I'm not on that bent anymore. But we had this great pool table in the middle of our prayer room. And when I got in there, it was about 20 people praying. And this guy was walking around. He's slapping the pool table, saying, this church is full of sin. This church, there's sin in here, and there's sexual sin, and on and on. So I just kind of stood back. And I watched him go around the table once, shouting and screaming. And this is our pre-service prayer meeting. And then when he came around, I just grabbed him, and I says, you're out of order. You're not moving in the same spirit that I am. You're moving in a spirit of anger and destruction. Oh, is that what you think? He says, and he turns to most of my board. He says, so does everybody else think that? It's a little challenge there. And everybody, including this guy's wife, said, yeah, we believe the pastor. So then the very next day, and I said, you're out of order, and he said, well, I'm just going to stay in here and pray for a while. I thought, come on, you just haven't got the guts to go back in the service and let the Holy Spirit speak to you. I don't have a hard time with this kind of stuff. Anyways, we go into service. We had an awesome service. And then the next day, which was Monday, Monday's always a good day for the preacher. He comes in and he goes, well, I just feel like I'm being led to another church. I said, no, you're not. I said, you're not being led, you're running. God has arrested you yesterday, and now you're running. He said, no, 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 no. Because he's holy, he's spiritual, right? I said, you are running from what God is wanting to do in your life, and you'll have to face it sometime. Well, I just feel led. No, you're not led, you're running. So he ran. He told me where he's going, a buddy of mine, that church. So as soon as he left, I phoned him, and I said, hey, Brian, you got a live one coming. And I told him the history. Interesting to find out within a year that he was an abuser. He abused his mother-in-law. He abused his wife physically and abused his mother-in-law financially. He was living a life of sin, and yet he became so spiritual. Please, let me tell you, we need to be holy. We talked about that last week. We need to be holy. We need to be above reproach. And our sister talked to us about that, that if we will humble ourselves and pray and let God search for any of the stuff, you know, the King James says, wicked way in us. You know, it's pretty tough to say that there's something maybe going on that you need to fix. Well, go ahead and fix it, because you'll be used more and more by God, and the things that are holding you back are not from God, they're from the enemy, and you need to be free. You need to be free in your spirit, and you can be used by God. So a lot of times when a prophecy comes forth, it doesn't build up. It tears down. And that is not exactly what this word of God says, to try to excel in that builds up the church. Ephesians 4 says, instead speaking the truth in love, not loving to speak the truth, okay? There's a difference. Some people just love to speak the truth and rip somebody to shreds. If it doesn't hurt you, if you don't well up inside with some emotion and some tears and you can't sleep the night before when you tell somebody the truth, then you better not speak. So you need to speak the truth in love, not love to speak the truth. We will grow up and become in every aspect the mature body of Him who is the head, that is Christ. We are the body, Christ is the head. We need to realize that it's the head that does movement in the body. It's the same with our physical body. If your brain is not working in a certain way, some parts of your body doesn't work. And so we need to have Christ working fully in our lives so that we can be fully used of Him. And He allows us. You imagine that? He allows us, trusts us with that. I remember standing on a street corner in Victoria one time and listening to this one guy who was a Christian, and there was some Jehovah's Witnesses on the other side, and he was yelling across saying, you know, you're going to burn in hell. Your doctrine's all wrong, and you're just going to burn in. He's yelling across in Yates Street, Yates and Douglas. I went up to him and I says, you're an idiot. I just kind of straightforward like that. I says, they're going to come to your church, aren't they? They're going to just feel love oozing out of you. They'd want to spend eternity in heaven with you, wouldn't they? That is so wrong. When I walk by somebody who's standing there, whatever denomination or whatever their religious belief is, I usually am very polite to them. I don't engage with them a lot of times unless God shows me that maybe it's time to just talk to somebody, because some people have been praying for them and they're open. But don't go in like a D7 cat with the blade down and the rippers up and just go and tear that person to shreds. That person wasn't speaking the truth in love. We need to grow up in maturity. Have you noticed that as you get older, you mature? Well, some of us, we should. It's a biological thing that should happen, emotional thing that should happen. I realize that the things that used to just push my buttons don't so much. Now, there is a few that still can happen. But I understand that when I become mature, I'm more effective. I reflect Christ more. And that's exactly what this scripture is talking about, is we need to realize that if we reflect Him, if we are mature, we're going to win people to Jesus because of the presence. For Him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. So it's just like this physical body again. It's like your arms and your legs. You know, I don't run because I just think, why would I do that to my knees and stuff? Like, this is a large lump of human flesh to push down on my knees and legs. And so when I'm, you know, it's just mean to do that to my feet. And when I try to do that, they tell me right away, you will not walk today. Or if you will walk, you will remember that these feet had too much. So they're okay with me walking, but don't do the running thing for me. That's for me. Because the ligaments and the tendons and the muscles and the knees and the joints and they're not built for that. Because they're not. I didn't start running I did run a lot from the police when I was younger, but that's different than exercise. Okay? So if I would have kept it up, I could probably run. And I'm out walking and I feel these people run by and it's so soft. It's just like, you know, when I run, it's like this. And I'm looking at my clock thinking, and I'm exhausted. I can't see anything else on the trail. All I'm looking for is that next fence post that I don't have to run past, that I can walk. And that's because I'm not built for that. God wants His body built for endurance. God wants His body to function together. Some of you are the knee. Some of you are what holds the knee together. Some of you are the voice. Some of you are the ears. Some of you are the tongue. Some of you are the hands. That some of you are the heart of God, and so you need to be healthy. We need to be healthy together. That's what it's all about. So back to 1 Corinthians 14:39, it says, therefore, my brothers and sisters, be eager to prophesy and do not forbid speaking in tongues. And it's quite interesting that there are people out there that forbid speaking in tongues because they don't believe it's for today. Really? If you read the book of Acts, it doesn't stop. Did you know that? Like it's on. We're an Acts church. And we should be going on. When it stops, speaking in tongues will be in glory. I don't know what language we'll speak then. But we don't need to speak in tongues then, because we'll be unified in Christ. Verse 22 of that same chapter says, tongues then are a sign for the believers, not the unbelievers. So we'll talk about tongues and interpretation of tongues as well, but they run so close together. It says here, prophecy, however, is not for unbelievers, but for believers. So tongues and interpretation is for unbelievers. When an unbeliever comes in, or a pre-believer, or whatever you want to do it, is they'll hear something, maybe in their own language, or maybe somebody will interpret something, and it'll just speak into their heart. Boom. Wow. God knows me. He knows me. But the prophecy isn't for the unbeliever, it's for the believers. Because we need to be edified. We need to be lifted up. We need to be encouraged, not torn down, not ripped apart. It's interesting, we live in a world full of psychology and full of all sorts of people who are going to help you become who you are, because most of us are insecure. So then you'll pay like $5,000 to $10,000 to go for a weekend, and they'll start on Friday night, and they'll tear you to pieces. They'll tear you down to nothing. They'll swear at you. They'll tear you apart. They'll tell you you're useless. Everything for at least 24 hours. And they'll just keep pounding on that. And then they'll build you up. They will build you up. How foolish is that? And they took $10,000 of your hard-earned money and destroyed you psychologically, destroyed you emotionally. Jesus doesn't tear you down. The body of Christ doesn't tear you down. The body of Christ lifts you up. The Holy Spirit said, I've come to give you power. And that power is amazing. But Jesus said, I came to give you life, not tear yours apart. So understand that. If anybody says, look, I really want to help you, let me come and just spend a weekend with you and tear you down and I'll build you up, you just run from that person and pray for them, because they need Jesus to build them up as well. 1 Corinthians 14:26 says, what then shall we say, brothers and sisters? When you come together, each of you has a hymn or a word or instruction, a revelation, a tongue, or interpretation. That's what we need in our church. Okay, now you go, well, a hymn. See? Not a chorus. Not what we're singing today. It's a hymn. Actually, when that was written, that's all they had, was hymns. We need to come with an expression of worship, and we do it through music. Well, whatever name you want to put on that, go ahead and put on that. But we come and we glorify God. But we should have a word of instruction. We should have a revelation from God. We should have a tongue and an interpretation. That should happen in our services all the time. Everything must be done, in verse 27, so that the church may be built up. We read that. If anyone speaks in a tongue, or two, or at the most three, should speak one at a time and someone interpret. So it's just not blah, 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 and then just have a interpretations after that. It's not the way it's supposed to go. So how easy is that? I'm telling you, just go ahead and move in your tongues and your languages and stuff like that. I was at a conference of my peers. And I never give a message in tongues. That I never did, anyway. And I'm there in worship, and Elaine's beside me. And God says, I want you to give this message in tongues. And I said, no. And he says, yes, I want you to. And then we had this little, like, 10-minute thing going on. And every time I say no, the bile burns off the back of my throat. You know what that feeling's like? Just like on fire. And then I'd say no. And he'd say yes, and I'd say no. And he'd say yes, and I'd say no. And the reason I didn't want to is because these are my peers, and if nobody interpreted, and if I blew it, then they'd think I'm an idiot. They'd think I was I'm a pastor. I want to look spiritual. I want to look spiritual amongst my peers, especially. And God and I had this little wrestling match, and Elaine's standing beside me, and she moves in the gift of tongues and interpretation. So I said, okay, God, I'll make a deal with you. You ever make a deal with God? Now, this is, everything's going, worship is going awesome, people are raiding, and I'm having this fight with God saying, no. And okay, here's the deal. I will say it out if you guarantee me that Elaine will speak it. And she has no idea. And I'm thinking, okay, God, like, you're not a liar, so I will get the confirmation from you that God, that, and there's other people that can interpret, but I want Elaine to. It's kind of a deal breaker, you know? So him and I agreed, and the bile stopped. And I've been teaching this. Just move in your gifts in my church. Just move in your gifts. It's quite easy. Move in your gifts. Just step out. And I was supposed to step out, and I was like burning inside. And so it just, you know how it is? Like, there's kind of a lull in the worship service. And I just let her rip, boy. It was scary. Like, I was, and all the time I'm thinking, get Elaine ready. Get Elaine ready, because that's the deal. And so I let this message go, and then I waited, and it seemed like 7 years. It was probably about 4 nanoseconds, and she just came out with the interpretation. And what I'm saying that for is it has to be done properly in order, but it also has to be done like the way that God wants you to do it. If he wants you to speak out with a word of tongues and an interpretation, then you need to do that. So at the most, 2 or 3 tongues and interpretations. We can have more prophecy. We can have more words from the Lord. We can have different things, but tongues and interpretation. We'll talk about that in the next while. If there's no interpreter, the speaker should keep quiet in the church and speak to himself and to God. Okay, so if there's no interpreter, and I would like to see us not interpret our own, because that's kind of like, if all else fails, I'll give the interpretation. I would like us to see, if you have a word from the Lord and you know that nobody's going to interpret, then you hold on to that. Okay? See, it's really important that you understand that there's a system that God has. There's an order that God has. And it doesn't make you any more spiritual if you give a word in tongues, if you preach, if you lead worship, if you lay hands on the sick and they recover. It doesn't make you any more spiritual than anyone else in the church with any other part of the gift. Because if you'll know that your body functions together, and if it all doesn't function, everything suffers. Right? So 2 or 3 prophets should speak, and then others should weigh carefully what is said. So you need to speak. And that's, again, it's like, oh, yeah. And that's not, well, you know, I'm going to bring them back up here and say, you know what you did wrong, Tulsi? You know, this is what you should have said. Or that's not that. It's that we need to be aware of what God's saying. And I so much appreciate Simon saying it's already been said. That's confirmation. And we can look at it just a bit different, but it's the same message. And sometimes it needs to come forth connected with that first message, because other people might see it a little different. You know what I'm saying? And hear it differently. And if a revelation comes from someone who is sitting down, the first speaker should stop. Oh, now there's being sensitive to the Spirit, isn't it? If a revelation comes to somebody who is sitting down, the first speaker should stop. Does that mean, just in mid-sentence, you should just go and sit down? No, I think what God is saying is that you need to close that, and then that other person's going to come forward and speak. Do you understand that? Like, this is a spiritual connection with the Holy Spirit. It's not something that we do in our order of service. It's something that the Holy Spirit... So if you have a message of prophecy, and you're into that message a bit, God will speak to you about wrapping that up so that somebody else who has another message can speak. Do you understand? It's really important that we do. For you can all prophesy in turn so that everyone may be instructed and encouraged. So we need to make room. That's why there's 4 people that came forward with a prophecy. They should have been all able to speak that prophecy last week. And I promise that won't happen again, that I would shortchange that. Continuing on, the spirits of the prophets are subject to control of the prophets. Oh, well, I just had to say it. Oh, did you? I need to say it. Here's another situation. We had this guy who was, I did a little background check on him, and I found out that he was a nut bar prophet. He'd actually caused, I call him a nut bar prophet, because he had caused a whole bunch of people to sell their homes and follow him, because there was a big tsunami coming in and was going to destroy all of the lower mainland in Vancouver. And people sold their homes and helped him with his ministry through those funds. And eventually their lives were destroyed because nothing ever happened. But he was spiritual enough and charismatic enough to draw these people into his web. So he ended up coming to our town. And so I did a little background on him, and I just said to him, I don't want you ever to speak in our church because you don't have a good track record. And he stood up and looked at me in the eye and he says, I'll speak when I want to speak because God told me and I cannot not speak. Do you understand that? Cannot not speak. I says, I'll tell you something. If you open your mouth, I'll have you removed. First of all, I'll shut you down in the midst of the congregation, a large congregation. In the midst of the congregation, I'll shut you down and then I'll have you ask you to leave. And if you want, I'll have the ushers remove you. And if you won't move with the ushers, I'll have the police come in and remove you because you're disrupting this meeting. You are not in the Spirit of God. It's important that the shepherd looks after his sheep in the field. It is important. Do I like to do that? No, I don't like to do that. But will I do that? Yes, I will, because the Spirit of God needs to reign in every service. Not the spirit of man, not the spirit of division, destruction. And I do not believe that God puts people in people's lives to destroy them. And I've seen it over and over and over again with a prophetic word, because we're hungry for the spiritual things. But please let me tell you, it doesn't have to come through someone. It comes through the Holy Spirit through you. You are all equipped and you're all able to do this, to hear from God. So the spirits of the prophets are subject to the control of the prophets. So you don't have to speak something. If it doesn't work, it can be my fault that you don't get to speak it. It can be whatever. It might not. But you know what? That word came from God. Write it down. And I told you, we had somebody just at our conference come by and say, God has given a prophecy for you and your wife. I don't even know who these people were. And so they said it was awesome. I don't remember. I just go, wow, that was awesome. And Lane remembers more than me. And I think, wow, that's really cool. And then I seen him and said, could you write it down? And they wrote it down. And when I read it, it was word for word what they said. That's the thing. That's from God. You're not making it up. It's just something that God gives you. And I find that really exciting when somebody is used to prophesy over our lives and we see it come to pass. For God is not a God of disorder, but of peace, all as in all the congregations of the Lord's people. He is not a God of disorder. It's amazing that he allowed me to be a pastor because, somebody said to me one time, well, I don't like the organized church. I said, well, come to mind, because we're disorganized. I'm not that organized. I'm not that organized. I'm just not, and so I'm learning that, and we have to have a certain amount of organization. We have an order of service here, but we use that to set up, and we hope we create an environment so that the Holy Spirit moves, not us. So Paul just goes right into this. Why he did this is beyond me. Well, it's not beyond me, but I kind of think I understand. Verse 34, women should remain silent in the churches. They are not allowed to speak, but must be in submission as the law says. If they want to inquire about something, they should ask their own husbands at home, for it is disgraceful for a woman to speak in the church. Whoa, eh? What do you think of that? Paul, my friend, you did something. Just drink a little wine, Timothy, for your stomach. Why not no wine? Get some Pepto-Bismol or something. I don't know. Anyways, let's get back to the women in the church speaking. You have to have a covering. So now, you know, there's churches that say, and our church was really bad for this. Basically, the theology was shut up and keep your hat on. That's for the women. Be quiet and keep your hat on. It's got nothing to do with a hat. It's got to do with the covering of your husband or your father. It's got to do with the covering. It's got nothing to do with a hat. But that's what we've interpreted as. And so, we have this, some churches that will not let women pastors minister. Remember we talked about everybody has gifts, and some of you have pastor's gifts, some of you have prophet's gifts, some of you are evangelists, some of you are apostles, some of those, so those, and many of you are of the female gender that knows that this is what God's put on your heart. And then you hear something like this out of the scripture and you go, like, are you contradicting God? God does not contradict his word. This is the law, as the law said. Remember it says, as the law said. Paul was saying, when you're in church, don't do it. But let's go on. It's in verse 36. Or did the word of God originate with you? I think Paul was pretty blunt. So, or are you the only people that it has reached? So he's saying, I'm teaching you something. You are still using the law in there. And so I like the message of that, the message translation. It says, do I see you questioning my instructions? That's what he's saying. Do I see you questioning my instructions? Are you beginning to imagine that the word of God originated in your church? Or that you have a monopoly on God's truth? Do you have that? Like, we're in a constant learning. We have an understanding of the Word of God, and so we need to understand that God has given all of us gifts. Paul's theology for that time was the culture of the law in the church. The culture of the law in the church has changed. Let me just read to you about women and prophecy. In Acts 21, it says, leaving the next day, we reached Caesarea and stayed in the house of Philip, the evangelist, one of the seven. He had four unmarried daughters who prophesied. You know, go figure. And here's why. It says in Acts 2:17 or 21:17, it actually should be 2:17. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Things changed in Acts. Things changed. The world, like, things changed at Azusa Street. Things did change in the world of the church. It was a big change. It was a big change that day when the Holy Spirit fell. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. Somebody said to me, you'll never see another vision, Caruso. You're too old. You'll just dream dreams. And okay, that's okay with me. So we should be able to expect that we will see visions and that we will dream dreams and that we will have prophecy, because God wants to speak something current, something alive. And sometimes that prophecy comes through the Word of God, which is a rhema. It comes into your life and is alive. That's a prophecy from God. God wants you to be encouraged, that he wants to speak into your life. He wants you to move in the Spirit in a way that you've never experienced before. And you, when you know Jesus Christ, you can do that. Every one of you. Continuing on, if anyone thinks they're a prophet or otherwise gifted by the Spirit, let them acknowledge what I'm saying, I'm writing to you, is the Lord's command. But if anyone ignores this, they will themselves be ignored. So there's a following of an order that God has. And if you just say, well, I don't need to follow that. I don't need to follow a denomination. I don't need to have a covering. If you do not have to have a covering, you are a dangerous person. You are a sheep without a shepherd. You're on your own. God is not into lone rangers. God is into the family, all the family working together. We can have different denominational names. We can have all sorts of denominational disagreements on doctrine except for Jesus Christ was born of a virgin and died for our sins. And we have to have that. If we do not believe that, then that's wrong. That's totally wrong. Because that's what the Bible says. Wow, this is... I'm yelling a lot today. Because I think it's important. So go ahead and ignore somebody who doesn't follow what the scripture says. Go ahead and ignore them. Say, I don't receive that. Somebody said to me one time, right in my face, just tore a strip off of me and said, thus saith the Lord. And I said, I don't think that was the Lord that I serve, so I don't receive it. And it blew the wind right out of their sails because they were adamant. And I said, you know what? This is not the spirit of God. This is the spirit of your anger mixed with some religion. So therefore, my brothers and sisters, be eager to prophesy and do not forbid the speaking of tongues. Be eager to prophesy, but don't forbid the speaking of tongues. But everything should be done in a fitting and an orderly way. We have to do that. We have to do that in our lives. Sometimes you don't want to get up and have a shower, and you don't want to get up and brush your teeth, and you don't want to. But I'll tell you, if you go out in about the middle of the day, you haven't done those things, people notice. People notice, and you should do that. If it's not for you, you should do it for somebody else. Really? And that's an orderly thing. Some, you know, some days you just kind of, I don't want to. Well, so what? Stay home. Close the windows, and by noon you'll want to be out. There's got to be something done in order. Orderly things. And God's family needs to be in an orderly way with Him because He has something for us all to do. He cares for you. He loves you. And He wants you to have life. And please, that's not just nice houses, nice cars, perfect physical health. That is walking in a dimension that we're not very familiar with, and that's the fourth dimension, the spiritual realm. That's where life comes in. That's exciting. That's alive. That's full. So we need to do that. Prophecy is important. All the gifts are important. And so we're going to talk more. Pastor Dan's going to be speaking next week. Elaine and I are going to go away for a little holiday. And we'll be back and we'll continue on in this this whole series. We're going to continue on and we're going to hopefully help you understand what it means to be Pentecostal and move in these gifts. I want you to. I want everyone to move in the gifts that they want. Or the gifts that God gives. I want them to move in that area. All right, can I have the team come back? The worship team. Are you ready? I just feel that Elaine has something for us. And so if you'd come, please, hon. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Good morning, church. You know, at first I said to Jim, you know, I just don't have anything right now. But then as soon as he got up and left, I just had a little story. First of all, I just want to read from Hebrews 12. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. We all have a race, right? And, you know, Pastor Jim talked about the race. And I just want to tell a little story. About a little farm in Saskatchewan that raised thoroughbred horses. And one day this little foal was born, and it was a thoroughbred farm, and so, you know, the destination for this little foal would be, this little filly was going to go to the racetrack. So they decided to take this little filly and took her to the racetrack when she was 3 years old. And they were going to race her, except there was a problem with this little filly. And the problem with the filly was when they put her in to the starting gate box, as soon as the buzzer went off, you know, to go, she scrambled. Now, when a horse scrambles, that means that their feet all start moving and they're terrified by the actual starting bell. So she just stayed at the starting gate and didn't go anywhere. And so they named her Go Slow. And that's what they named her. This when she was three. They named her Go Slow. So Go Slow went back into the field for a few years. And fast forward that to our little farm. My daughter wants a horse. And I said, I don't have the money for the horse. So my daughter said, that's fine, I'll earn it. She was 14 years old, so she found a little job and earned this money. And Jim's friend in the ambulance service said, you know, I've got a lead on a horse for you. And so we said, okay, we'll take a look at this horse. And this horse was the most beautiful, big, gentle mare. She was 5 years old that we'd ever seen. Now, we already had two horses on the farm, and we thought they were beautiful. But when this one came onto the field, it was just beautiful. And run. This horse could run, this new one. So we took her. And she had a few problems. Her ears were all frostbitten from when she was little. And my daughter would ride her around the field and jump her and just do all kinds of things with this beautiful horse. And I'd always say, Leslie, don't run the horse home, you know. And she would get on that horse. Jim, you know, she'd be flat home. Out coming home. Flat out, and she would be going so fast she'd miss our gate and go right on to the neighbors, you know. Yeah, and that she would just, this horse could just fly like the wind. Well, the day came when we all loved this horse, which was no longer named Go Slow, but was named Kamara. And we had to go. We had to leave the farm because the ministry was calling my husband to a different place, and my daughter said, I understand, Mom, we'll have to sell her. So a lady came, and the lady said, let me try the horse out. So they tried the horse out, and she said, you know, she's not really well trained. She has some problems, but she's not really trained. I said, okay, what do you think are the problems? And she said, well, you know, she knows her gait, she knows her lead, she knows these basic things, but that's all. She's just a basic horse. She's, you know, I said, fine. Do you want to buy her? She said, I need to think about it. So I went home, and I started praying about this, and I didn't feel good about it because, you see, I could see the potential in this horse. I could see the potential about where this horse could go. Because you know why? This was Secretariat's granddaughter that was in our field. She looked just like him, and he won the Triple Crown in 1974. So you see, she may have had a few little things here and there, but this horse was great. I could see it in her because of the bloodline. The bloodline that's passed down through the generations, this horse could run. And so I went to the lady and I said, you're not having her. You're not going to have her. And she said, why? And I said, because I can see the potential in this horse. And this is what I want to say to each one of you today. I can see the potential.
Amen.
We're better than horses.
Yeah. Amen.
We're not animals. We're God's daughters and sons in his bloodline.
Amen. Amen.
We're better than an animal. And so I told my, I told Jim, I said, I want you to get a hold of the people that we bought her from. And so he did, and this horse went back to Vancouver Island and went to a little girl who was the reserve champion of British Columbia. And this horse went into training to go into the ring to be a show horse. And I just want to leave you with this today, that there's greatness in you.
Amen.
And I can see it. I can see Amen. It. And it's just having the ability to be put in the right situation with God, with each one of us, okay? Each one of us is in a different place. We're running a different race, okay? But the goal is all the same. Like we're all going to the same place, right? But it's a race that has to be run a certain way. It's not our way. And training is hard. I said to my daughter, Leslie, we're going over to the ring to watch her train. I want to see what they're going to do with her. And so Leslie is now 14, and we stood at the ring. We watched this horse go into the ring, and the veterinarian was there, the trainer was there, and they took that horse from a dead stop and made her go into a full gallop, like right away, like just brought her from nothing to just, you know, and she just, and I could see the power and the strength coming out in her and how she was going to be used of God. And I just want to leave this with you. Each one of you is going to be used, but it's in God's time, and it's God's Amen. Training and God's way. It's not our way. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lane. Thank you.